It's exciting. It's exciting to see all that's happening. We have been writing these names on the wall, as I mentioned a moment ago, and there's still time for you to do that. The first goal was writing down the names of people that we are inviting to be our guest on Easter Sunday, and then also people that we are praying for. I believe there are testimonies already on that wall. Testimonies by faith, testimonies in faith. So I'm not just going to write that person's name down, but I'm going to reach out to them. I want to invite them. I want to get in the same room with them. Why? Because I believe that God has something good for them. Do you believe that today? You believe God has something good for them? And I honestly, I understand the hesitation because a lot of us are feeling like, I mean, good, is there anything good happening right now? It just, there's so much stress in society right now. There's just stress everywhere, and it just feels like there is no good news. I am a news junkie. I watch news. I listen to news. I'm into talk radio. I have podcasts and different things that I listen to and pay attention to and keep up with. I like to be up to date with what is happening. I like to be informed and to be in the details. But with everything that's happening, it honestly is pretty depressing these days. Whether it is war that is happening or negativity or the immoral agendas that are grieving me, we honestly need some good news. And I want you to know today that I have good news. In fact, today is Palm Sunday, and from today that begins Holy Week, that takes us on to Easter Sunday. It's nothing but good news because we are celebrating the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. That is the good news. And when you're thinking about all of the bad news, I mean, honestly, this is what I believe. Jesus is our only answer. The church is our only hope. Revival is our only option. It honestly is. Jesus is the answer. I know we're trying to figure out which politician has the answer. We're trying to figure out which representative or which senator or who is it going to be in Congress. Who is the community leader that's going to be able to make the difference, and I'm glad for what any of them can do. But honestly, at the end of the day, Jesus is the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can turn it around. And that's not news that I want to keep to myself. That's not news that I want to keep a secret. How many are good secret keepers? You're a good I need to see who you are so I can know who I can trust, because there's others that are not good secret keepers. They'll tell your business so fast, so fast. Kristen was on the phone handling some neighborhood business just yesterday, and I'm sorry, text someone with neighborhood business, and they text back, I mean, some real detailed information, and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to tell that, and I thought I was texting someone else. And I'm like, so that's two people you weren't supposed to tell, and here you are telling it. I mean, you're like got mass list going on of all the stuff you're not supposed to tell. Some people are not good secret keepers. Listen, this is not a secret we want to keep. The good news about the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done, is something that we want to spread far and wide. We want to tell it loud and proud how great and how awesome Jesus is. That's the gospel. The gospel is a good message from a good messenger. gospel is a good message from a good messenger. I honestly believe we have a corner on the market because this is the only thing working to actually change lives. That's why the church is under the attack that it is under, because the enemy hates this fact that the church is the answer. It bugs politicians. It has Disney executives infuriated right now. I mean, just so many things are swirling, but the message of Jesus works. But here's the thing about a good message. A good message needs good messengers. And I want to help us with that today. I want to spend just a few minutes talking to some good messengers. Notice I didn't say good arguers, not good debaters. I'm not talking people that know how to fuss real good. I'm talking about good messengers, not caustic Christians. I understand this lion versus lamb mentality. You know, on one hand, you know, we're supposed to be really docile and just meek and lowly, and the Christians always take the back seat. And then we also see this aspect of God who is lion, who roars, and devils flee. And what am I supposed to do when it comes to some of the challenges that we are facing? Should I be docile? Or should I roar with the knowledge and the truth that I understand? No, this is no time to shrink or to be timid, but we must strike the right balance in our presentation. That's why we can't get caught up in arguments. We can't get caught up in debates. We have to be good messengers. I love the prophecy in the book of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. This is a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, because God was seeing his church, but he wasn't just seeing us as congregants that gather on Sundays. He saw us as good messengers who were bringing good news. Jesus said it this way in Luke 10 and verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We don't have a harvest problem, we've got a worker problem. It's not that there isn't great need, it's not that there isn't a vast opportunity. There is vast opportunity, and certainly there is a great need. What we need are people who see the harvest, messengers who say, wait a minute, I've got an answer for that. I've got a fix for that. I've got a resolve, a resolution for that. I can help them with what they are going through. I believe there are people who would receive our prayers if we would pray for them. I believe there are people who would eat a meal with us if we would feed them. There are people who would get saved if we would write their name on the wall. We just need good messengers. Easter needs good messengers. The good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. It just needs messengers who are willing to share this good news. And I love this. I love this against the backdrop of the Palm Sunday story, because these are powerful thoughts. The Palm Sunday message is literally titled in your Bible, The Triumphal Entry. Because so far, Jesus has moved somewhat quietly. I know as you read through the Gospels, you may disagree with that, but multiple times Jesus would do a miracle in front of a crowd of people, and then he would say, hey, don't tell this. Don't keep this quiet. keep this hush for the next little while, because he was trying to do his father's will. He was trying to get to a certain point. He was trying to get his kingdom in the earth established. And so oftentimes he would tell someone, hey, I know I healed you, but I want you to just kind of keep this quiet for the next little while, because this plan is unfolding. But now this triumphal entry, Jesus has sent his disciples to go find a donkey upon which a man has never sat. Go find a donkey that I can ride into town on, because we are about to take this message right down Main Street. I don't know about you, but I want to take this message. I want to take this good news right through town. I want to proclaim the good news of Jesus in Covington, in Conyers, in Oxford, in Social Circle. I was in Madison yesterday afternoon. I want the good news to reach Madison and Mansfield and anywhere around. I want Jesus to be on display. I want revival to be on display. I want there to be miracles, not just in this room, but right on Main Street, in every community that we live in. Find a donkey and let me ride. So, Pastor Darrell, how can I be a part of that? How can I be a good messenger? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to help you with that today. How can we be good messengers? Number one, we have to accept the personal responsibility. We share this in our Discover Church material. It happens just a part of it, how to be good messengers. But let me expand on it just a little bit on this Palm Sunday. Accept the personal responsibility, because you and me, we are God's plan. He does not have a plan B to reach the world. You and I are his plan. Oh, that almost, man, you just hit us with the responsibility. You just hit us with the ultimate to-do list. I know sometimes that feels weighty, because all of the people that I'm meeting, all of the people that I'm coming in contact with, and all of the people that I am building relationship with, it's not just so that they will think that I am a good guy. It's not just so that they'll want something that I personally possess. It's because Jesus wants me to share the good news with them. He wants me to be a good messenger. And I've got to accept the personal responsibility. It challenges all of our comforts, because I realize, hey, God has entrusted this to me. Romans 10, 13, 14, and 15, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Notice where you and I come in to this process. Everyone has to call on the name of the Lord for themselves. And how are they going to call on him? How are they going to know they even need to call on him unless they believe in him? So all of that has to do with the condition of their heart and the condition of their faith. But then he says, look, I got to make you a part of this process, because how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. You see how we are a part of that process? You and I are a part of that story. We want people to get saved. I want people to get saved on Easter. I would love to have more people get saved on Easter than ever in the history of any one service at the church Covington. But the only way that will happen is if they are in the room. We're going to preach the word to them so that they hear and that they believe and they come to a place of understanding of their need to give their heart to Jesus. But you and I have to do our part and go and find them and share with them and express to them and talk to them and be those good messengers. That means you and I have to seize opportunities to help people. You will never, I don't want to say never because never is a really strong word, but you most likely will not find me on a street corner with a megaphone. I'm probably not going to preach the good news in that fashion. It's because I haven't found that to be effective. Every time I've witnessed that, it's been more on the offensive side than the effective side. But you know what? I encounter many hurting people. I encounter many hurting people, and there are a lot of hurting people around us all. And when I encounter a hurting individual, I refuse to mind my own business. I want to get in their business. Hey, I'm not trying to find out the details. I don't want the nitty or the gritty, but is there some way I can help you? Can I pray for you? Can I just love you through this season in your life? Can I just walk with you on this journey? I know you're lonely right now. I know you are overwhelmed right now, and I sense that you are at the end of your road. Can I just help you find a path out of this situation that you are in? Jesus said, go find a donkey that no one has ever sat on before. Go, it's typology of someone who has never understood their purpose. Because donkeys they're created to work. They're created to carry burden. Go find a donkey that no one's ever sat on before. Someone who does not understand their purpose, and bring them to where I am. Let them know the master has need of them. Hey, sir, ma'am, neighbor, coworker, friend, schoolmate. The master has need of your life. He's got need of your talent. He's got need of your mind. He's got need of your strength. He's got need of your heart. Come and see what all Jesus wants to do in your life. Accept the personal responsibility. Here's number two, develop a personal relationship. Develop a personal relationship. This is crucial, and it's too often missed in the process. Well, I'll just tell them what I know. Well, here's what I've learned. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The culture is trying to mandate that we correct before we connect. We're going to tell everybody what they're doing wrong, and you need to live differently than you're living right now. And let me just tell you, the Bible says you're going to hell if you continue living this way. I get it. Probably some truth in that, but you didn't win a soul. What you did is cut yourself off from an opportunity to walk with someone until they get an understanding and knowing how much you care about them, knowing how concerned you are about them, knowing how much they matter to you. That is what will make the difference. I need to build a personal relationship with people. I know it seems crazy in this busy, fast-paced society that we're living in. Now it's just scrolling. It's just scrolling on Facebook to catch up with people's lives because that's all we have time. And maybe like that, maybe comment on that. That's about as deep as our relationships go. But I want to challenge you to find someone. Maybe it's someone's name that you wrote on that wall. I'm going to build a relationship. I may have to start small. It may take some time to build a real relationship, but I'm not just going to share social media posts. I want to connect with someone. Because if I can connect with them, then that leads to the next blessing in their life. I'm going to have the opportunity to share my personal story. I'm going to accept the responsibility. I'm going to develop a personal relationship, but then ultimately I want to share my personal story. Because evangelism is often misunderstood that I'm supposed to point out what someone should do differently in their life, when the better and more effective approach is for me to tell them how Jesus changed my life. That's what makes the difference in people's lives. When they hear me tell, when they hear me say, when they hear me testify about what Jesus has done in my life. Can I tell you about the difference he made in me? Hey, I see you struggling. I see you walking down this dark road. Can I tell you about the time that I was walking down a dark road? When I share my personal story, I understand that there are aspects of your story that you would just soon forget. You don't want anybody to know them. You're ashamed of them. They're under the blood and you don't feel like pulling them out. I understand and I get that. And I'm not saying you got to share every detail, but there's some aspect of your story. There's some part of your story. There is something that will relate to someone else, that will help someone else, that will make the difference in someone else's life. And when God puts us together with what they're going through and what I've been through, it's amazing. It's amazing how God will use my story to prove to them that God loves and God cares, and he will rescue them as well. Isn't that beautiful? It's all connected to you and I being good messengers. Let me give you soul winning 101. Right out of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. First of all, you got to have this in you. You're not going to be able to share anything with anyone if you don't really believe it, if you're not truly convicted by it. If it's not an anchor in your life, then they're going to smell that a mile away. So make sure that you revere Christ as Lord in your life. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's in the Bible, y'all. That's not a pastor giving advice. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3 says. Always be prepared to give an answer. Wait a minute, Pastor Dale, I'm not always prepared. I'm not always prepared because I don't know if I really know what I believe. I know it feels good. I know this is where I want to be in church, but I don't know if I have the answer. I don't know if I have the answer. Hey, that's what small groups are all about. That's what Sunday teaching is all about. Someone testified this morning, recounted a testimony to me about someone who's been coming to our church recently, and they said, you know, this is amazing because I finally understand the word. I'm finally understanding because of the teaching and the way the word is being presented. I'm understanding, and the Bible is coming to life. That's what it's all about, because someone is going to have an opportunity. And listen, God is not going to put you in situations to embarrass you or to expose you. And he's not going to put you in a position where you look silly or you feel dumb because you don't have the answer. Study, the Bible said, to show yourself approved. That doesn't mean you have to be an expert. That doesn't mean you have to go to some collegiate level course. But you know what? I want to be able to tell someone why and how Jesus has worked in my life. But he goes on, he said, do this with gentleness and respect. Don't do this pointing your finger at someone. Don't do this talking down to someone. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, verse 16, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. God said, if you keep a right spirit, If you don't wallow down into the arguments and the debates, if you'll keep a right spirit, I'll make sure you always come out looking good. But you know, in this cancel culture, that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to put your faith out there, because I may be fired. I may be let go. You know, they may say, you know, you're not welcome because of your Christian beliefs. You know what? If I'll keep the right attitude and I'll keep the right perspective, God is going to make sure that I win. God's going to make sure that he gets the glory. Why? Because I am a good messenger sharing a good message. Is this teaching all right? Is it helping anybody today? So I got to accept the personal responsibility, and I want to develop a personal relationship, and I want to share my personal story, and then finally I want to give a personal invitation. I want to give a personal invitation. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? They'll say no. Well, let me ask you this. What's the best that could happen? They'll say yes. I'm not going to be offended if someone says no. There's maybe only been one or two times in my you know, Christian journey that I've shared faith with someone or said, hey, can I pray with you? Everybody says, yeah, pray for me. I've had atheists who do not even believe in God or profess not to believe in God say, yeah, you can pray for me, that's fine. I mean, whatever, I know that's what you believe. Well, you just messed up, buddy. Because what you just did is admitted that you've got just a little bit of faith. Just on the chance that your way is right. Just on the chance that what you believe is true. Sure, you can pray for me. They don't have to pray back. They don't have to say a word. But let me pray. I've only had it happen once or twice where someone said, nah, I don't believe in that. Don't pray for me. All right. I'm not going to go get in the bed over that. I'm not going to be depressed over that. I'm going to be sad for them. I'm going to continue to pray for them. Too bad. I'm going to pray for you anyway. Because I'm petty like that. What's the worst that could happen? They'll say no. Okay, say no. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to keep inviting. I'm going to keep sharing the good news. Some people are not as ready for God as you are for them to receive God. And that's all right. We keep praying and we keep believing. But I'm never going to know until I step out. And this week is a perfect opportunity to step out. Perfect opportunity. How many have already invited someone to be your guest on Easter? Awesome. Awesome, beautiful, beautiful. How many are planning to reach out to someone this week? You know what? I'm going to preach just another moment, but I want to pray. I want to pray for everyone who's already invited someone, who already has someone in your mind to invite. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for those names we've already called, those names that we've already invited, people who are on our heart. I believe you've placed them on our heart, Lord. It's not just because we're related to them or we live close to them or probably just because we like them, Lord, and we want to go to church. We want them to have what we have. And I pray today for our boldness. I pray for our boldness, even the quietest of personalities. It has a passion on the inside to share a good message. And I pray today. I pray for our friends. I pray for our families. I pray for those that we are inviting. It's not so that we can have some number on Easter. I'm not concerned about the number. I'm passionate about people getting into the room that need you and the opportunity to share the gospel message. Your message with them. I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. Let me close, but I don't want to close today without telling you what the good message is. I I told you what a good messenger is. You and I, the opportunity to share the message. But what is the good message? Go back to our opening verse, Isaiah 52 and 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. Let's work through those for just a moment this morning as we close our teaching. What is the good news? Here's the good news in a very compressed statement, if you will. The good news is that God loves you and sent his son to pay for your sins. That's the good news. That's the good news. God loves you and sent his son to pay for your sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you and sent his son to pay for your sins. And then he said, these good messengers are going to proclaim peace. They're going to proclaim peace. They're going to preach peace. They're going to prophesy peace. They're going to speak peace into our communities. Someone was telling me that on spring break this week, they witnessed, just at a restaurant trying to eat, and witnessed two full-on fights, people just brawling. We need peace in our community. We need peace. I was in Houston. It's been since I lived in Covington. I was back and I was with two other pastors, and we were in a bad, bad part of town, and the other guy, he's native Houstonian like I am, and the other one was from out of state, out of town. We're in a bad part of town because there was a donut shop that was open 24 hours. I'm just going to be honest and tell you why we were there. So you didn't think, you were thinking something. I know, I felt you. But we were there to get a donut. And we're sitting in the car because the donut shop was locked up tight. There was just a drive-thru. We went through the drive-thru and we were sitting in the parking lot. And across the street was a bar. And where we were parked, we couldn't see all of this happening, but we started hearing this commotion because it was the middle of the night. But we started hearing this commotion, and this fight came right to the hood of our vehicle. I mean, full-on fight. These two guys were going at it. And me and the other native Houstonian, we didn't move. We're not moving. Mr. Out-of-State dude starts getting out of the back seat, climbing out of the car, saying, hey, guys, you stop that right now. Hey, you stop that. And me and native Houstonian are saying, you better get back in this car. You better get back in this car. Because in just a moment, here come, you know, that fight took on a whole different deal. And then brother out of state was climbing back in that car. And, you know, it's challenging in the times we live in. Because we want there to be peace. And good messengers have a message of peace. What is he trying to tell us? Here it is in just a brief statement. God can give you peace no matter the circumstances. That's what I want to say in your life today. It's what I want to speak into your home today. That's what I want to speak over your marriage today. That's what I want to speak into your life. God can give you peace no matter the circumstance. I don't know why I feel that so strong right now. There's someone in this room that your life just, it's just raging. There's chaos and stress, and I've come to speak peace into your world today. I love what Jesus said in John 16 and 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. He said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. There's going to be trials. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be chaos. But I want you to be at peace, because I have already overcome all of that. And if I live in you, then guess what? You are an overcomer too. Somebody needs to hear that. Someone needs to reach up and grab that word and put it into your heart and say, hey, I'm going back to a different home today. It's going to be peaceful, because I have Jesus in me. And then he said, you're gonna bring good news, good tidings. There's good news, there's peace, and there are good tidings. What's the difference in good news and good tidings? Let me say it this way: God will give you the strength to make it through. Because there is no promise that life is going to be void of struggle. There is no promise that life is going to be void of difficulty. No. In fact, there is the promise that life is going to be full of trouble and difficulty. But the good tidings is my belief that God is going to give you the strength to make it through. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, if we hide this light under a bushel, then it's hidden only from people who are perishing. Don't hide this. Don't cover this. Don't stuff this deep into your pocket. Go to work and, that's not who I am. I'm only that guy on Sunday. I'm not that guy Monday through Friday. Be that guy Monday through Friday. Be that lady Monday through Friday. Our world is craving someone who is normal and real and authentic, who lives and who loves God. He goes on, verses 8 and 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That's the good tidings. Life is going to keep throwing punches, but you're going to get up again. Life is going to continue to knock you down, but you're going to rise up. And in that rising, you're going to be stronger and more full of faith and more able to overcome. Who am I preaching to in this house today that needs a good tiding? And then he said that good message is that we proclaim salvation. Why? Because God is ready to save you right now. Right now. Oh, I imagined that when I came to Jesus, things would be worse than they are. No, God is ready to save you right now. Doesn't mean you're having the worst day of your life. It doesn't mean that everything is falling apart. It's just the right time. It's the right time for you to accept what God is doing in your life. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Romans 10, 9 and 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you ever lost something that really meant something to you? You ever lost a child? Anybody ever lost a child? By losing, I mean, I'm not talking about death, and if that's your reality, God bless your heart today. I'm talking about your children that get separated from you somehow in a store. Ours would try to hide from us. That ended real quick. No. If I lose you, that's one thing. But if you hide from me, that's something else. You just get separated. You turn one way, they turn another way. It's sheer panic that sets in. It's fear that comes over. It's craziness that ensues. Hey! There's nothing calm about that mother that loses her child. Hey, you get over here. I need help. Get on the intercom. Doesn't matter how shy they were earlier that morning. Doesn't matter how timid their personality, you let them lose one of their kids. That voice is going to be lifted. And everyone within the sound of their voice is going to become their employee. You go that way, you go that way. You run down that aisle. She's this tall. He's that wide. Go. I wonder if you and I could become that way about the people whom God has put into our lives. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to be lost. That's how Jesus wants us to be for those who are lost around us. Father, good Father, faithful Father, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for healing my heart, for changing my mind, for forgiving my sin. Thank you. But also, Lord, the realization, the understanding that has come, that you didn't do that just for me. You did that so that I could help someone else. And it's not just those in the room today that are saved and feeling the responsibility. It's those in this room who are not certain of their salvation. They're not sure. They're not comfortable. They hear this good message today. And oh, how I need good news. And oh, how I need peace. And oh, how I need some good tidings. But today, Lord, I need salvation. I want salvation. If you're in this room today and you need salvation, maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you have, but you've lived a lot of life since then. Maybe it's been a long time since you've lived committed to Him. I want to pray with you today. I want you to pray to Him today that He would save you completely, fully, and that today could be the first day of the rest of your life lived with passion for Jesus. Just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I'm tired of doing it my way. Tired of doing what I think is best today. Today I submit to you. Today I yield to your will. Today, I say yes to you. I'm confessing with my mouth. I'm believing in my heart that you are my Savior. You died for my sins, and you were raised to give me new life. I receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Can we give a hand for everyone making that decision today? Yeah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What now, Pastor Daryl? What now for you that are online? We want to help you. We want to resource you. Let us put this book into your hand. If you're in the room, there are books at either side of the auditorium on the Yes banner. If you're online or in the room and you would like this sent to your phone, text FOLLOW, F-O-L-L-O-W, text FOLLOW to 404-777-4701. It's on the screen. Leave that on the screen for a little while. Let someone text FOLLOW and you'll get that right to your phone. You can read it in just a short period of time. It's an easy read. We would love to baptize you. We're baptizing people next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Already people saying we want to be baptized on Easter Sunday. If you're ready to take that next step and be baptized, text FOLLOW to that number. Let us connect with you so that you can be baptized, so that you can just continue feeling and finding everything there is to feel and find about the Lord. Amen. Why don't you stand with me across the room? Hallelujah. 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 Say it one time, team.
Oh, your spirit lives within.
Yes, it does.
So I will walk in yours. Oh, your spirit lives within. My victory. My victory.
One more time.
Your spirit lives within.
So I
will walk in your peace.
Oh,
your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory.
Listen, we love you. If you need to go, God bless you. Stop by that wall, write a name, pray over some names, agree with us, bless, and just cover that today. If you are our guest, please make it to Church Central. Grab your gift today. We're so honored to have you. Take a moment, meet someone, let someone meet you. That's when church is best, when we're in fellowship and community with other believers. If you need special prayer today, I would love to pray with you today. You can make your way to this altar as our team sings this another time or two. We'd love to agree with you and pray with you today as God blesses and touches your life. We love you. Have a great week in the Lord.
My victory,
say,
my victory, your spirit lives within.
So I
will walk in your peace.
Oh,
your spirit.